And you pray for me while I preach. The Holy Spirit will actually be our preacher and our teacher. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before you this evening. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for all of its promises, all of its truth, all of its wisdom. Lord, we're so grateful, Lord, for it, because, Lord, we realize that faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the Word of God. I want to thank you, Lord, for preserving your Word tonight in this book I have laid before me. I pray, God, tonight that you'll help me to preach the Word of God, the whole counsel of God. And I pray, Lord, that you will enlighten the understanding of our eyes tonight, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray, God, that you help us to do as the Apostle Paul did, the Holy Ghost did through him, Lord, to let you lift us up above this world of sorrow and sin and sickness and sordidness, God, tonight, and lift us up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to do as the Apostle Paul did. Lord, you did something to that man that made him live on a higher level. And I pray, God, that you'll do that in us tonight in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' glory's sake, I pray. Amen. In this, we're going to hit this first chapter tonight. I want you to think, or just if you want to write some things down, one of the things I think needs to be done when you're studying or reading or preaching through the book of Ephesians is connect with Romans chapter 8. There are a lot of things in Ephesians that you see talked about and referred to, the same truths in Romans chapter 8. And to me, the book of Ephesians is an expansion of Romans chapter 8. Another thing I want you to keep in mind tonight as we get into this is the phrase in Christ or in whom. This concept of being in Christ, because that's where God puts us when he saves us. And it's all through the book of Ephesians. Now, I want you to think with me for just a little bit. The Apostle Paul, he was a Pharisee. He was trained under Gamaliel. He was a big dude in the religious time of that day. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, the Hebrews. I mean, you read his pedigree. Paul had a pedigree in the worldly sense. He had a lot of authority. He had a lot of position, and he had a lot of power. He met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and thereafter was never the same and changed his whole trajectory of life. He said, "What things were gained to me, I counted for loss. Counted lost that I may win Christ." He just kind of, as it were, he made the statement that what this world has to offer is dung compared to what Christ had given him. Now, it's in this book that he's going to kind of lift us up and out of this mud of this world and show us what happened to him to make him move from being accepted and a big shot and all the pedigree and all the privilege and everything that he had. What in the world caused a man to change the way he thought, acted, and lived to where he was willing to suffer persecution unending because of what had happened in his mind and heart? What happened to him? And I believe with all my heart it's because of what God shows us through his letter to the Ephesians will do the same thing for us. Let me tell you what I need right now and you need right now. We need some encouragement. Amen. We need some good news. And one thing I think that happens, God allows things to happen, is it helps us to get our focus off of this world and lifts us up into where we're headed. What is your life? The Bible says it's even but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We're just here for a snap. I mean, it seemed to me like now Sundays are just go zip, 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 and it's Sunday again. And the week just goes zoom, and it just seemed like I'm on a slide downhill, and somebody's iced it up real good, and I'm heading down. And you know, eternity is forever. And what we've got to get a hold of is the value of things eternal compared to things temporal. We just got to get a hold of that. And if we don't get a hold, because if our focus is temporal, we're going to get discouraged. Yeah. And so this is one of the things I want to say. What caused Paul to have everything this world had to offer, and he's willing just to literally give it all up? Yeah. And what we're going to see in this book is what enabled him and what happened inside him and the truth that made him change and say, you know what, I'm not living for this world anymore. I'm living for eternity. And I hope by the help of the Holy Spirit, we can get a hold of this tonight. All right. So here we go. In verse number 1 of chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Now, I'll tell you what, you need to underline that, by the will of God. He's going to introduce you a lot tonight to the sovereignty. And remember, I preached on the providence of God. I'm telling you something tonight. If we're not careful, we're circumventing that way more than we ought to. He was an apostle by the will of God. He didn't just, wasn't his idea, wasn't his pickup. He was an apostle by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He addresses these people, these saints that are faithful. By the way, Ephesus was, you read Acts chapter 20 and other passages of scripture. There's a letter of the seven churches to Ephesus in Revelation 2, 1 through 7. And at Ephesus, he said, in Acts chapter 15, he fought with beasts in Ephesus. It was in Ephesus that the goddess Diana had that whatever image that supposedly came down from the sky and they literally would kill over it. If you didn't follow up with Diana and he preached Jesus Christ, they wanted to kill him. Remember, they drug those men into the arena in the book of Acts. Ephesus is a wild place. It's also a cross deal of the continents there where it was at. And it was it's one of them places. But he's talking about people who are faithful. These people fought with beasts. And if you do some study on church history, a lot of the people, several of the people in the church, the believers in and around the city of Ephesus, the outlying area, were fed to lions in the early decades of the church. And there were people who literally had their spouses torn from them. Their children fed the lions. Their parents fed to the lions. Ephesus was a mean, mean place. He walked into that place, preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, started a church, and actually outreaches of those churches in that area. So this is a serious thing. You got to see this world. Paul is showing us there is someone and some place and something to live for besides temporal things. Yes. Now, it's a quandary to me because you know what? We're here, and somehow or another, I want breakfast in the morning. And the light bill has to be paid, right? And things have to be tended to. At the same time, I've got to have a focus on eternity. I can't just have it here. But anyway, the faithful, and here's this phrase that sets the stage for the whole epistle, in Christ Jesus. Underline that, mark that somewhere, because this is the concept that is going to set this whole stage of this book. Then this next word in verse number 2, grace be unto you. And of course, this is in all the epistles. He said, grace be to you and peace. There's never peace without grace coming first. Grace always comes first, then the peace of God comes. And these people had received the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and then peace came to their heart. Can I say to you tonight that unless you've experienced the grace of God in His forgiveness of sins, there has been no peace in your heart. But I tell you tonight, I'm glad to say that I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And I'm not looking for a train ride out tonight, but I tell you, if God takes me, I'm ready. I'm at peace with God because of who Jesus Christ is and what He did for me, and because of my faith in His death, burial, and resurrection. I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ, and that came through God's grace, not my performance. Well, he says there, grace, beauty, and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, he takes off you talk about a bull out of the chute. A car out of the racetrack. Here he comes. Ephesians is one of the most concisely written pieces of literature in the world. It is the Bible, God's Word, and He doesn't waste any time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I ought to bless God frequently, often, every day. We ought to bless God. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And you and I need to bless God, amen. He's blessing God for all the... Look what he says, blessed be the God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And here's the phrase again, in Christ. Now, I want to talk tonight, and we're going to go down through here. He's going to literally go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, right on down the line of the blessings that you and I have in spiritual places, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Bible teaches, Jesus said, don't lay up your treasures on earth. Paul said, don't set your affections on things below. He said, set your affections on things above. We were singing that song a while ago, and we're going to sing it before we leave tonight, looking for a city. The Bible said that Abraham looked for a city, not built with hands. And you and I need to have this attitude. If this world's all we got, we ain't got much.
Right.
It's a rotten place, amen. And the older you live, and the more you live, and the more you see, the more, when I was a kid, I just thought the whole world revolved around Booger County down there. I just thought the whole world was like Booger County right down there. Everybody went barefoot and picked ticks and chased rabbits, you know. I mean, I didn't know the world was mean and wicked. But the older I've got, and then to get into ministry, and now, and boy, now the communication, I'm telling you what, this world vile. Amen. But God in Christ Jesus has blessed us with blessings. Now, I want to tell you, most of this world's wanting material blessings and temporal blessings. Yeah. More money, you know, more stuff. This is what I'm saying. Paul had all that stuff. He set his sights up here. He said, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And all that blessing is because we're in Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, it's all his glory. Now watch what here comes the blessings. He's going to list them. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That'll blow your sock hat off and your socks in the creek. Amen. Think about that statement. Did you realize that you're blessed? How many are saved here tonight? All right. This is what your Bible says, that God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. That'll blow you. Doesn't that blow a lot of theology out? You say, man, I don't know about that. I don't know about that either. I'm going to believe it though. Amen? Amen. He chose. I don't know why. But he chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. The Bible also says that Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world that he would be a sacrifice for our sins. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. It's not about you and me. It's about him. It's about what he's done. It's not about what we're doing. It's about Christ. Amen. And this world doesn't want anything to do that, but that's part of our spiritual blessings. I'm just going to enjoy it. Amen. I don't understand that. I wasn't there, but I can believe it and enjoy it. Amen. I want you to think about it for a little bit. God chose you before the foundation of the world in Jesus Christ. Now, if that ain't a blessing, that's good preaching. You're right. You know why it's good preaching? Because it's the Bible preaching, amen. You know what it does? It gives God the glory and not us. It ain't a cotton-picking thing you've ever done. You've never lived good enough to deserve to be chosen. You wasn't even around. But he knew you before you ever was. C.A. Spurgeon said, he said, I think I'm glad he chose me before the foundation of the world, because if he wouldn't have chosen me after he made me, amen. Well, he chose you, but he knew what you was going to be before you ever did. That's right. Amen. Listen, our God tonight knows everything. That's right. Past, present, future. There's nothing he don't know. There's nobody he doesn't know. Get biblical about your concept of God tonight. Amen. Oh, I know you think it's all up to you. Listen, I'm telling you, you didn't choose him. He chose you. Yeah. Amen. He chose you before. He said, I chose you for a reason, for a purpose. Here it is. That we should be holy. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. He didn't choose you to be filthy. He didn't choose me to be filthy and nasty and vile. He chose me to be holy and blameless, without blame before him in law. Read your Bible. Welcome everybody online. We're having a good time. Hope you can enjoy it too. He didn't choose you. He said that we should be holy and without blame before him in law, in love. Paul is lifting you above the law. He's lifting you up to love. Love lifted me. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. It's love that meant, hey, law won't make you want to be holy. Law won't make you want to be blameless. But love will. Amen. Love will make you want to do right. Love him, want to be right. Want to be faithful to God. I love him. Want to do right. I don't want to blaspheme God's name. I'm telling you right now, this past week, I was tempted, amen. If I told you how I'm tempted about things, you'd roll over in your seat. And I tell you what, I got to thinking how I'd blaspheme the name of my Lord Jesus Christ and the people that it would hurt and the damage that it would do. And I said, Lord, put some Holy Ghost love in me that'll make me not even think about such a thing. Amen. 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 See, the law of love will cause you. That's why he said before him in love. Now, here's the next blessing. Oh, this will get you. Being predestinated. Oh, I know you don't like that word in your Bible, but it's there. Oh, nobody wants to preach on this anymore. It's all about, I received Jesus and I did that and I've lived for God and I did this and I got saved and I did this and I did that. It's all about me. Now, God's showing you here, you've got blessings in heavenly places that God's given you, and I'm telling you, it's just his grace that gave it to you. He chose us before the foundation of the world. Then number two, he said, we've having predestinated us. Somebody said, what's that mean? Means what it says. Don't try to Greek that out on me. Don't steal that from me, amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Don't start an argument with me about, well, some people are predestined to hell and some predestined to heaven. That ain't what your Bible said. It just said it predestined us. Amen. Unto something. The adoption of children. Now, the reason the Holy Ghost uses it, you see, the Bible talks about being born in the family of God, but it also talks about being adopted. And the reason I believe the Holy Ghost uses the word adopted is because adopted is connected to being chosen. I'll take that one right there. Isn't that what your Bible said in verse number four? According as he has chosen us in him. So I'm not only born in the family of God, I'm adopted in the family of God. You say, how reconcile that? Explain that to me. I don't have to. I can enjoy potatoes and don't even know how they're made. Amen. I can enjoy cake and I can enjoy Brother Paul's cake and don't have a clue how he made it. I don't have to know how to answer everything to enjoy it. Amen. I'm telling you right, that Karen sets down a meal, I just sit there. I don't know, how'd you make this? What you put in there? What's that? I don't do that. I just eat it, amen. And when I come to the Word of God, I don't ask God to explain everything to me. If God's mind's not bigger than mine, he's not very big anyway, amen. So why can't I just enjoy the dessert? Ephesians is a book of dessert, ice cream and chocolate cake with that gooey stuff and walnuts in the middle of it. It's good stuff. And God just wants you to receive it and eat it, amen. He chose you. He predestinated you to the adoption. He adopted you. That's the next blessing by Jesus Christ to himself. Now, I like this phrase. According to the good pleasure of his will. Woo! God's got a will. God's got a good pleasure. And he's going to do what he wants. And you ain't going to stop him. He done all this because he wants to. Amen. Oh, I know. There, that old flesh of yours is hanging in there. Now, surely, Reggie, I've got something to do with this thing. Surely. Oh, listen. I'm telling you right now, this is good stuff. You can go home, rejoice, lay your head on your pillow, go. Oh, God's good. Devil, get out of here. I was chosen. I was predestinated. I was adopted. Quit lying to me. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I should have been in hell. Yeah, I know all that. But I got a God that loved me before I was ever here, chose me, predestinated me, adopted me, and the pleasure of his good will. Not my will, his will. Mercy sakes alive. Well. We need a piano, an organ. Wah, wah, wah. Amen. Verse number six. Now this is going to be in the first chapter. You're going to find this phrase three times. To the praise of the glory. The praise of his glory. You're going to find that phrase three times. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Not the glory of your goodness. Not the glory of your performance. But the glory of his grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It's not the glory of my performance. It's not the glory of my faithfulness. It's not the glory of my goodness. It's the glory of God's grace. I'm telling you, when we get to that place, we're going to say the glory of God, the glory of his grace. Amazing grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, you know what we're going to say? Glory to God for his grace. Amen. We're going to be there because of grace. Amen. Paul's just, you know what Paul is doing? He's got a 747. And he just took off down the runway of this old sorry earth, and he's just taking us right up into the heavenlies. Amen. Boy, when you get up in there and you see them, I mean to tell you, whoa, this pretty up here. Amen. It's nice. Amen. Fly above the world. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Amen. Amen. Listen, I'm not going to be here very long. I'm 67. How long have I got? 2 seconds, 2 minutes, 2 days, 2 years? 2 decades, maybe at the most. I'm out of here. I better be getting a hold of this. This is what made Paul be able to sit in a rotten cat, rat's biggest cat's jail cell in human waste and praise God and say rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. He knew he had something better on the other side. Amen. Let them have their mansions. Let them have their money. Let them have their power. Let them have their position. I've got Christ. Amen. I'm going to another land. Amen. Then he said this, boy, I'm telling you right now. He said, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us. Woo! Accepted in the beloved. Amen. Who's the beloved? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm accepted with the Father in Christ. Amen. That's the only way I'm accepted. In Christ, when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, the Holy Ghost made a new creature, new man. Then he baptized me in the body of Jesus Christ. Now I'm in Christ. And in Christ, I'm having all these spiritual blessings. And he said there, it made me, I'm accepted in the beloved. It's the only way you're accepted by God the Father is in Christ. You're not accepted. Bless God, I'm going to preach it. You're not accepted because somebody dunked you in the water, amen. You're not accepted because you're in a church row of membership or something like that. You're accepted only one way by God the Father, and that's in Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, faith in the work of redemptive work of Jesus Christ. He said, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in the beloved. Man alive, I'm going to tell you something right tonight. Now, a lot of you folks, now, Glenn, hang on to your hat. But a lot of you folks think Glenn's a nice guy. But I know him. He's my son-in-law. Right. Sorry, dog came around one day and stole my daughter. I tell you, they ain't no good. Don't ever try to be nice to me if you steal my daughter. But you know why we accept him in our family? Does anybody know why? Because he married my daughter. He's accepted in the beloved. Some of you sitting here acting like you're the same way. Some of you guys think your in-laws like you. Huh? Amen. You think your mother and father-in-law likes you, they'd shoot you if they thought they wouldn't have to go to prison. Amen. The truth is you're accepted in the beloved. They brought you over to the house and you wasn't watching him, you was watching her. She likes him. I'm going to have to accept him. Hey, that's the truth, amen. No, I love Glenn. I'll tell you what, I'm honest with you and I ain't bragging me up, but I'll tell you, I got a lot better deal than most people did. Amen. I'm telling you right now, I appreciate him. He's good to my daughter, amen. He's taking care of her. I tell you what, you have some daughters and some old boy marry them, you're gonna watch, see if they take care of her. Yeah, tell them that before they get married, amen. But I'm gonna tell you the truth about all of us is, do you know how you're accepted in this church? In the beloved. You ain't accepted because we're all so nice and sweet and wonderful. How do you accept people that maybe you don't really like? I don't hardly like anybody anymore. But I love y'all. I'm serious. Some of you sitting back here don't like anybody else either. You just act like you do. You hang around church long enough, you're going to find out what people are really like. Amen? Yeah. Pretty soon they ain't going to be as sweet as you thought they was. But you're going to have to accept them how? In the beloved. And I'm honest about it. I do appreciate Glenn. He's been a blessing, an untold blessing to my family. But I'm just telling you. And he doesn't have some bad kids either. They didn't turn out too bad. Isn't it amazing how you think your grandkids, boy, I'll tell you what, now they can wrap themselves around you, them grandkids can. I'd do things for them I wouldn't even start to do for my kids. Isn't that bad? That's terrible, ain't it? Grandpa, will we do this? Oh, yeah. Let's get back to preaching. Get off this stuff. Amen. Anyway, we're accepted in the beloved. I was just trying to use that as an illustration. Amen. But that's how we're accepted. I'm not accepted because I'm a good person. I'm accepted in Christ. by faith in Christ, because he put me in Christ. Now, verse number 7 says, now, watch, here comes his heavenly blessings. Now, in whom, look at that, in whom, in verse number 7, there it is again, we have redemption. Now, if that ain't a heavenly blessing, I don't know what is. I'm going to tell you, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed means you've been bought out of the marketplace of sin. You were owned by the devil. He owned you lock, stock, and barrel. And God redeemed you out of the marketplace of sin and took you from the possession of Satan and sin and bought you out. Amen. The Bible calls us a purchased possession. We're redeemed. Redeemed ought to be a word of the church. We're redeemed. We're redeemed. Redeemed. We've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have redemption through his blood. Look at the next blessing, the forgiveness of sins. Let me tell you tonight, if you're in Christ, you're forgiven. Amen. You're forgiven. Is anybody like me? The devil brings, he's got a really good file cabinet. I mean, he can really bring it back up. And he can make you wonder, well, are you forgiven? Let me tell you how he works. Well, if you were forgiven, how come you're reaping so much of this? You better get that one down. There's a difference between judicial forgiveness and the law of sowing and reaping. And they're not connected. One is one thing, one is another. God forgave David right there in chapter 12 when Nathan was talking to him. God forgave David. But he said, you're going to reap what you sowed. Okay? The devil will try to tell you that you're not forgiven because you're reaping what you sowed. It's not true. I am forgiven. Dean, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. I'm telling you, don't let Satan lie to you and rob you of this heavenly blessing that we are forgiven. Whether you feel like it or not, you're forgiven in Christ. I'll tell you what, I'm like the boy say, you can put one word on my tombstone, put forgiven on there. Because that's all that matters. Amen. That we're forgiven through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That doesn't mean that you and I should not have remorse or regret about the things that we've sinned or something like that. That doesn't mean that. But I'm telling you, don't let the devil rob you of this heavenly blessing in Christ Jesus that you're forgiven. Amen. Can I tell you, you ain't gonna be worth a flip nickel to Jesus Christ if you're just moping and not ever thinking you're forgiven and you're just living in that quandary and that muck and mire of that stuff all life. You ain't gonna have a joyful, you ain't gonna have nothing to offer anybody. But I'm telling you, it's a heavenly blessing. This is what Paul's talking about. He said, I'm going to show you these heavenly blessings. He said, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Let me tell you something. Where sin abounded, what? Grace did much more abound. I'm telling you, the riches of God's grace is immeasurable tonight. It's immeasurable. You can't no more drink up the ocean than you can drink up the grace of God tonight. I'm telling you tonight, I don't care what happens and what's going to happen going, God's grace is always going to be greater than your sin. Amen. Amen. Now look here in verse number 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us. Whoa, mercy. When I read the word abounded, I see a buck deer standing on the side of the road, and there's a big old high 6-wire fence there. And he takes a look at you and then he goes, ain't nothing to it. And I'd get hung up and twisted up. God abounds toward you. I want you to know this tonight. God's telling you something. His grace, his love, his forgiveness, his reconciliation, all these blessings, they abound toward you. God is for you. He's not against you. He is for you. He's not against you. It is of no profit for you and I to sit and beat ourselves up about how sorry we are every day. You're not going to go anywhere sitting and just, what are you, a Haiti Catholic, a Philippine Catholic, beating yourself with stuff, and making your back bleed, make you feel better about you because you beat yourself to death about your sin? You think you're more spiritual because you beat up yourself about how bad and worthless and rotten you are? Have you helped yourself yet with it? Has it made you happier? Has it given you more peace? No. God wants you to know you're forgiven. You're forgiven in Christ. Now, if you're not in Christ, you ain't forgiven. That's where you better make sure that you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sin. He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. I'm telling you something. God wants you to know some things. God wants you to have the wisdom of his wisdom and not this world's wisdom. God wants you to know these things he's talking about. He wants you to know you can be forgiven. He wants you to know that you're chosen. He wants you to know you're predestined. He wants you to know the heavenly blessings that he has, spiritual blessings in heavenly places that he has for you. The world does not have this wisdom. I'm shocked at how many people are coming on my Facebook feed and commenting, you know, how they're an atheist. I don't believe any of this stuff. You guys are crazy. It only God only exists in your stupid mind and all this kind of stuff. They don't have this wisdom. I feel sorry for them. I don't know much what to do for them, but the one thing I'm thankful, they must have listened to something or they wouldn't have made this statement. So maybe we're planting some seeds. I don't know. But let me just tell you tonight that it's a wonderful thing if you know that there's forgiveness of your sin through Jesus Christ, that he died for you. It's wonderful to know that he's going away to prepare a place for you, that he's coming again to receive you, and that you're in Christ, and that God has blessed you in all these heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus. That's wisdom that this world doesn't know anything about. God has abounded toward us with that tonight. It makes me want to fall on my knees and say, oh God, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Then let's look at verse number 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. You mean, God, you're not asking me how you ought to run this world? And God, why aren't you coming and talking to me about what you should do? I'm glad I've got a God that doesn't have to come and ask me and talk to me. What do you think, Reg? I'm so thankful that he is working everything according to his will. I can rest in that tonight. Do I like what I see going on in America? But I was telling our family today at noon, you know, if you look back historically, there weren't very many people that lived under good rulers. How'd you like to live under Pharaoh? He kind of enjoyed killing babies. How'd you like to live under Herod? He really got a kick out of killing babies. How'd you like to live under Nero? And all a bunch of those old Roman guys. And I mean, the world historically has not had good. How'd you like to live under Stalin and Hitler? I mean, folks, listen, we're not the first people that's hit a little rough water. Why don't we buck up and get a little spine in us and a little muscle in us and say, you know what? God's grace will be sufficient for whatever we need to go through. Because they're not above our God. Amen. Amen. Verse number 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time. Now, that's a big statement. And there are dispensations in the Bible, whether you believe that or not. What that means is there are time periods in which God deals with people in different ways and different groups of people and so forth. But the dispensation of the fullness of times, I believe, is the millennial reign. And here's why. Watch what it says. That he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. The Bible teaches that in the millennial reign, God is going to bring everything under the physical, literal, material reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, and the world is going to be in subjection to him. You can read Philippians, a different passage of scripture, how he is going, and God is telling us there, listen, the best is yet to come. The dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And let me just tell you something. He's going to be the center of world worship and attention. And everything's going to revolve around. I'm just telling you, we're created for his glory. And we're going to rule and reign with him, but that's all going to be gathered together in Christ. Now watch this here. Man, this is good. In whom? Look at that phrase. Last part of verse 10 says, in him. Verse 11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. My, my, my. Be thou my wisdom. Then that song says, thou, how's it going? My inheritance, thou, thou. So can anybody help me? Be thou my wisdom, and thou.
Thou mine inheritance now and always.
That person who wrote that song understood something. They understood the biblical concept that we have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. I want you to know this. Your Bible says that we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And in Christ, we're inheriting everything that the Father has given him. Now, I'll tell you something, folks. This is wild stuff. This is heavenly stuff. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if somebody called me up this week and said, Red, said we're fixing to die, or we're going to die one of these days, and we were doing our inheritance, and we got 1,500 acres over here in the Montana mountains, and we just thought it'd be nice to give that to you, I'd say, woo, glory to God. God doesn't call me to Montana. And they said 1,500 acres in the mountains of Montana, and I'd buy my land. How many would be interested in that inheritance? What if somebody said, well, we got, here's $1 million inheritance. And we think that's big stuff. I want you to know something tonight. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But Paul said, I'm going to show you the spiritual blessings in heavenly places that we have in Christ Jesus. He was not joking. You may be sitting out there tonight and saying, boy, I'm telling you one thing. My mom and dad's as broke as a window. They ain't got nothing to give nobody. I'm having to pay off their homes, their old folks' home bill. I mean, I'm having to sell 42 cows to pay off the doctor bill, pay the hospital bill. They didn't leave me nothing. Did I say 42? It has special significance. I'm going to spiritualize that thing. But I'm telling you something. This is why I'm all excited about the new heaven and the new earth. I'm going to inherit this, Brother Jones. We're going to inherit this thing. Paul is saying, you know why I left all that big shot stuff and all the stuff the world could offer me, and why I counted all as dung and win Christ? That ain't nothing. He said the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. I'm telling you, it's like God said, hey, Reg, you're 67. It's time for you to wake up and realize what I've got for you. Quit focusing on this world so much and get your eyes on heaven. I've got you a place. I've got you an inheritance. You're in Christ. You're in Christ. You're joint heir with him. I'm telling you, I've got you blessings. Amen. Amen. If Christ died and gave his son for us, how much more? The Bible says for us, man alive, I don't know. Anyway, here we go. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. Oh my goodness, there's that terrible word again, being predestinated. I like it. I like it. I think I'll just believe it. I think I'll just receive it. I don't think I'm going to argue with God about it. Predestined according to my purposes. Predestined according to the purpose of him. I like this. Who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Devil ain't running the show.
Amen.
Washington's not running the show.
Amen.
The Supreme Court's not running the show.
Amen.
God's running the show.
Amen.
He's working everything, after the counsel of his own will.
That's right.
And they may think they're really doing the deal. God's saying you're doing exactly. You do that, you do that, you do that. You don't even know why you're doing that. You do that, and I've got it all laid out. And it's all going to be according to the purpose of my will. We serve a mighty God tonight, amen? I'm going to tell you what, listen. And he said, after the counsel of his own will, we got to, what? Oh, my goodness. Well, that we should be to the praise, there's that phrase again, praise of his glory. Who first trusted in Christ. Boy, I tell you, that's all underlinable. Praise of his glory. That's what we're here for. We're here for his praise, for his glory. But we trusted in Christ. You know what, tonight? I hope you can say, I'm trusting him. Brother Tim, I'm going to somewhere, someday, the Lord tells you, I'm going to die. Now, I don't know where I'm going to be, but I hope I can just say, Lord, I'm just trusting you. I believe I'm going out right now. And Lord, I'm trusting you. Tomorrow I get up, I'm just going to trust him. He's trustworthy, amen?
Amen.
He said, in whom you trusted after that you heard the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, hearing cometh by the word of truth. Hey, this Bible's the word of truth. I've never seen nothing like this book in my life. Every phrase he writes is full of truth. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom, there's that phrase again, in whom.
Now listen, I know some of you ain't never shouted, but here's a good shot for you to do it.
I don't care whether they like me. I don't care whether you like me. I'm going to enjoy my salvation.
Amen.
I'm going to enjoy the word of God.
Yes.
Now you listen. He said, in whom after that ye believed, not after ye were baptized. I'm going to hit them again. They don't shoot them kind of verses on the internet very much. In whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. In other places in the Bible it says you're sealed unto the day of redemption. I will give you something tonight that the book of Ephesians is a detailed illustration of the ark that Noah rode in. Noah was in the ark. He was sealed. He was riding above all the world's death and sorrow and everything else. He was enjoying the purposes of God. Everything in Noah, if you'll take it to the book of Ephesians, he was experiencing it. And we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, I know some of you broke the seal 3 or 4 times and you got saved over and over again, didn't you? Let me tell you something tonight. If the seal on Noah's, on God's ark, it's really not Noah's ark, it was God's ark. You read your Bible, it's God's ark. If that seal would have ever busted, they'd all sunk. God took him clear to the other side. On the 17th day, which the 17th is a number of victory, sitting on top of that mountain, sitting on top of a lost, condemned world. That's what we're going to do at the end of this thing. We're going to look down, and I'm telling you, we're going to be victorious over a lost and condemned world that God has destroyed.
Amen.
Victory in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. He said, "You believe." After that, you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Now, you may not believe this. You may not practically experience this. But whether you do or not, don't mean anything. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you trusted in His death, His burial, His resurrection, that He died for you, shed His blood for you, and you place your faith in Him as your Savior, God sealed you. Now, you may not understand that. You may be walking around the ark all the time looking for a leak. But that's not going to change things. You're wasting your time. And you know why? But let me tell you why most people are looking for a leak. Because they think they're doing their own sealing. They think it's up to how good a job they're doing. You didn't seal yourself. The Holy Ghost sealed you. So you just, well, quit wasting your time walking around looking for a leak. You know what the Bible said? You have joy in believing. The reason some folks ain't got joy because they don't believe nothing. Oh, I don't know about that. Oh, I don't. If I didn't believe, I'd be worried too. But God didn't say, no, you get inside that ark and you just go around all the time checking for leaks. And no, I want you to spend a lot of time worrying. Spend a lot of time doubting that you're going to make it through. And Noah, I want you to believe this. It all depends on you. Get in there and rest and serve and do what I told you to do in Christ. Enjoy yourself. You ain't telling me that Noah didn't look out and go, "Whew, I'm glad I'm in here." Amen. And you ought to every once in a while, when you're looking out this old nasty wicked world, you go, "Whew, glad I ain't in there. Glad I'm in the ark." Amen.
Amen.
And then verse number 14, he said, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the, there's that third time, praise of his glory. Now, folks, we don't think much about it nowadays, but historically, earnest means that what he's talking about is the purchased possession. Used to, you'd go buy a place and they wanted $100,000 for the place. They wanted $10,000 down. And if you didn't put $10,000 down, they wouldn't write you a contract because they said you ain't serious.
Yeah.
And the earnest was this. You put $10,000 down, you don't close, you lose the $10,000. Are you listening to me? This is what earnest means. When it says earnest at the present, earnest money means that you put money down and you're promising to go through with it. And if you don't go through with it, you're willing to lose the money.
Yeah.
Now, people don't do that anymore. Real estate transactions don't work like that. They want to put $200 down and have 42 escape routes when they do a real estate deal. But let me tell you something. When I sell, and I don't do hardly any auctions anymore, but when I do a real estate auction, I do them the old-fashioned way. 10% down, day of sale, and the place of sale. As is, where is, no coming back. You do an inspection before the sale. Because when you write that check, you're the last bidder, and you write that check, 10% down, this thing's over with. Don't come to me saying, well, I changed my mind last night. I woke up and had a dream. Don't think I ought to buy it. You're not getting your money back. So don't do this. Don't do this if you don't want to come through with it. That's true earnest. It means you're earnest about what you said you would do. Now, what did God say? God said, I saved you, I forgive you. All these things we're talking about. Reconciled you, justified you. You know what God's saying? I gave you the Holy Spirit. That shows you I'm earnest. Now, did you ever think about this? That if, mercy, say loud, make a Presbyterian shout. Amen, that's exactly right. If God ever reneges, hey, is God a man of his word?
Yes.
Will God do what he said he would do?
Amen.
He's so much so that he said, I'll give you the earnest of the Spirit of God. I'm going to give my spirit to you as an earnest down payment of the purchased possession. What he's talking about is when you die and you're, he's going to salvation is the spirit, soul, and body. He said, I'm giving you the earnest of the Spirit, and I'm going to possess and purchase spirit, soul, and body. I'm going to resurrect a new glorified body. And he said, you're there, but I'm going to give you my earnest to show you that I mean business and I'll never back up on my word.
Amen.
I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish.
Amen.
Earnest. This is what bothers me about this business losing your salvation. They're saying God ain't earnest. They're saying God could back out on his word. And the reason they believe that, because they believe their salvation is based upon them. Upon their performance and not upon what God did. I want to tell you right now, I sold a piece of property here a few years ago for $100,000 at auction. They broke $10,000 check down. The following Wednesday came in my office and said, I want out of the deal. I want my money back. I said, I'm sorry, we can't give it back to you. I hate to tell people that, but they were told clearly. It's a bad deal. You listen to me. God ain't that way. God's not a fool. God's not foolish. God did not take his son's blood, come and redeem us and purchase us and buy us out of the marketplace of sin and give us the earnest, the down payment of the Spirit, and then get 42 years down the road and say, you know, I don't like what I did. I think I'm going to let that go. I'm going to throw you a wild one. Do you understand what earnest means? That the earnest money, you lose it. You get me? Do you realize what he's telling you? That if he was to renege on that and that earnest wasn't real, he would lose part of himself, the Holy Spirit, because our Holy Spirit is the earnest down payment. God is so real, so serious about this thing that he gives himself, God the Holy Ghost, as the earnest down payment of your salvation. And you think he's going to renege on that? When you start saying that, you're implicating all kinds of things, that God's a liar, he's not a man of his word, all kinds of junk. Now, I'm just telling you, this is good, amen. We're going to quit right there. Come on up and let's sing tonight, amen. We're going to quit at verse 14. I thought I'd get all the way through the chapter. Everybody come and sing tonight. We're going to sing away. Don't turn that TV off or whatever it is, that camera off. And you folks online, you can sing with us tonight. We're gonna sing our hearts out. We're gonna give it everything we got. you're dismissed tonight. You can go home, shout, pout. I don't care what you do. Have a good time, the Lord. Have a good week. We'll see you Wednesday night, Lord willing.